Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, beautiful. A part of that group is a result of Steve Erickson's work with the media department, making a little announcement, letting young people know they can join the choir and sing and give praise to God, give something out. You have to learn real early. And if you don't have parents that teach you to share, you have to learn early to give out, because it's real easy to receive and receive and get. I read one time years ago that children at some point have to learn that they are not the center of the universe. I haven't quite learned that yet sometimes. It's hard. That's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? You're not the only one in the house. Praise the Lord. Hey, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. This Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a specially called business meeting right after the Bible study. We'll have food on Wednesday night and a Bible study. And then at 8 o'clock, a very specially called business meeting to discuss some of the improvements on the church, some of the things that we're going to do. We have a large sum of money invested, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the improvements that we can work on Wednesday night, a business meeting at 7 o'clock. Wanted you to be aware of that, and also to be aware that there's a wonderful Bible study every Wednesday night. It's wonderful. A part of my purpose in life, what I'm trying to do, is not just say words to you or tell you something. I want you to experience the joy and the peace and the faith that I have experienced in God. I don't want you just to come to church and this be a thing that you do. I want this to be a part of what your life is. This is where you come and receive inspiration and information and experience joy and fellowship and community. Do you understand? So you have to engage your heart and your mind, and you have to take into your heart and into your spirit what the Lord is doing and celebrate it as it happens. I see some people that I wonder if your blessability is busted. Because I get so blessed, I feel so cranked up, I get so full of joy, and I look and people are, you know, straight-faced and not moved, and I wonder, you know, if you've been broken till you can't feel the smile, the joy, the sense. The kids are singing, I'm watching them move, because I think life can squeeze that out of you. And I am absolutely certain that religion will drive that out of you. Religion is impossible. I wrote that several years ago. Religion is impossible. It's just impossible. You can't do everything people tell you to do. And then when you get under that cloud and you're under that effort, it's like you miss the whole point. Jesus is good news. God is good news. God is good to people. God's good to everybody. He makes his sun to rise on the good and the evil, makes it rain on the just and the unjust. You got to get out of your head that God is judging bad people, because none of us are good. There's not one good, no, not one. But he has justified us through the blood of Jesus. Somehow what Jesus did on the cross put the whole world in right standing with God. I'm going to say that again. This church truly is beyond the pale. We've gone past the veil. We're outside the box. We are not orthodox. We do not stick to the straight opinion. Orthodoxy. Orthodox means a straight opinion. We do not stick to the opinion of Western theology. I don't believe in Western theology. I don't believe what all the Christians in the world believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he did it. I believe when John saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe you're free from sin. I believe the whole consciousness of sin has screwed our heads up. We're all about the dark side, the negative, the flesh. And he said, lift up your eyes. Quit thinking about that. The covenant is, I will remember your sins no more. You are under that covenant. Oh, I'm off. What I'm trying to tell you is that ought to make you happy. You can't hear that and say, well, mustard or ketchup, fries or salad. It's not that kind of a decision, you guys. It ought to make you say, this is wonderful. There's something going on in my life. God is in control. Now, the deal is that God would work with us in our immaturity, like little children, where we receive and we receive until something starts to transition. And even in a moment, in a church service, you may come in real needy. I come in sometimes dry. I come in, I need the rain to fall on me. I need help. And suddenly, the words of the Lord, the word of the song, the music, my spirit's lifted up. I don't want to keep acting like I didn't get it. I don't want to stay where I was. You can transition out of that madness in just a moment. Now, is that right or not? And what I'm encouraging you to do is respond to that. Smile, say amen, lift up your hands, clap your hands gently, nod your head, whatever it is, somehow don't act like you're still in the grave. Don't act, if you're out, don't act like you're still in that. Am I making any sense at all? Just learn, because we've been down for so long that we don't know how to live up. We don't know how to relax and rejoice. And if it feels good, you're afraid to let it out. You ruin your reputation or something, right? So smile today. Smile at two people. Give somebody a high five. Just grin at them. Just like, hey. No, just come on. Hey. You don't have to say anything. Just, hey. All right, so I'm going to try to start with this thought and speak a message to you. We have a couple things to do very important today. So here's the deal. There comes a moment in your life, moments, times, a season, where it isn't all about you, but somehow you feel good. Somehow it happens in your head. You get it. It's better to give. Now, I'm not talking about money at all right now, but it's better to give. It's better. You actually transition, listen to this, this is the message today, is three T's. You transition to transfer. You actually start transferring. You actually start giving out. Something you've received comes out of you, and you feel good about that, like you felt good about receiving. We've had several people in our home in the last few weeks because of these fishing trips I take men from around the country fishing. As a matter of fact, this week I took my 82nd man up to the Boundary Waters, at least for his first trip, which are men who drive cars, live in houses, live in the hustle and bustle, and I talked them into riding with me to the North Woods, getting out of the car, get them in a boat, and then we ride across this lake, and they drop us off on a rock and all our stuff, and then they leave. And these guys go, my phone doesn't work. This is a serious thought. Some of you just got that on you. Got the feeling just now. What if I hurt myself? Who's going to get me out of here? Where are we going from here, Mick? We're going that way, boys. All of us, in these little canoes, and all this stuff. Do we have enough food? You want me to drink the water out of that lake? And there's this joy that comes over me when I realize I'm transferring to these guys an experience of God and nature that's outside of their experience, and something's happening to them. Well, I took my nephew, who married a young lady in the church that we pastored in South Bend, Indiana. Robbie Yannock, who spoke last week, married Trisha Klein. And Robbie told the group that Trisha says today, they have a married daughter, they have their own grown children, says of Terry, Trisha says, everything I know about raising kids, everything I know about cooking, I learned from Aunt Terry. There was a time when Terry was learning, but then something happened, and you transition to transfer. You start giving it out. And people say, I learned this from you. And you get a feeling of satisfaction for transferring like you got when you used to open your own presents. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody in this house, can you think of a moment when you transitioned and you were transferring something? Something was coming out of you. Some of you have a great sense of joy when you give everybody else advice. You just love that. You love it. Come on, it's true, isn't it, Terry? If I can get my wife to laugh or say amen, I feel like 100. You know what I mean? I'm not a 99 anymore. I'm a full-blown 100. Okay, so here's the deal. I want you to think of these words. Everybody say self. Say alone. Say me. Say gain. Say get. Want. When that changes to, everybody say serve, help, give, share, louder, teach, impart, transfer. When it changes from self and me and get to give and help and share, something happens in your life. You have moved. You've transitioned. Does that make sense? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. David, young strapping buck, steps into camp, sees the giant Goliath yelling at the enemy, his enemy, the armies of God, and steps up, and as you know the story, he grabs 5 smooth stones from the brook and slings one at the giant, kills the giant, and David is known as the giant killer. King Saul is jealous. It makes King Saul mad that this young guy is getting all the attention. He's still the center of the universe. King Saul feels like he needs attention. Do you know people like that? I mean, if somebody's doing well, it makes them sad. I watch my grandkids do that. I can cheer one of my grandboys and watch the other two get mad. You hear me? When you're immature, if somebody else does well, it bugs you. But if you get older and you transition to transfer, you're happy when people do well. Oh, I'm stuck. I just got stuck. Some of you are scratching your ear like you have no clue what I just said. If you're still jealous when somebody else does well, you need to check your spirit, because you need to be thankful. Because God is good to people, it's going to make you mad. I tell you, the church rises up with every excuse it can to keep people out, because God's so good to people, they don't like it. Well, I've been doing this all these years, and they just come right in here and act like, yes, because God's good to everybody. You wake up this morning by the grace of God, and you can't get mad when somebody does well. I pray in Jesus' name today that some of you transition. So David falls under the wrath of this king because he did well. He just did well. Saul's mad at him. And in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, this is after a few incidents, King Saul's trying to kill the boy, and David left Gath. This is 1 Samuel 22:1. He left Gath, he escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. Verse 2, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader, and about 400 men were with him. Distress, debt, discontent. They gather to this man, David. And David becomes their leader. Chapter 23. Just one chapter later, verse 13 and 14. David and his men, 600 in number. Guess what? The number is growing. Did it say 400? And one chapter later, there are 600 distressed, in debt, discontent, that gather around him. They left Keilah. They kept moving from place to place. They can't settle. King Saul's after them. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the desert strongholds in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. Everybody said amen. All right, now, David's running from Saul. He's being pursued. He has a few hundred men come with him, and as the days go on, discontent, men in debt, guys in distress, keep adding to the number. Does that sound like what Jesus is about? Bring me the broken ones. Give me the ones in trouble. Bring folks that'll be thankful. After we take care of the business, they'll remember where they came from. Right? Right? Don't give me a bunch of haughty, middle class, I can make it on my own, I don't need to praise God, I did this. Thankful for what? I did it. It's like sometimes I think we thank God for the food and we ought to say, thank you, Terry. Are you listening to me today? Are you getting this? David gathers these men. They come to him. All these men are a mess. But I want you to see the moment of transfer when it transitions. 1 Samuel chapter 24, just one chapter later. Chapter 24, he's got 600 men around him, all these discontent people. David in chapter 24, verse 1, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told that David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000. How many men does David have at this point in chapter 23? 600? How many men does Saul come with? 3,000 chosen men from Israel. They set out to look for David and his men in the crags of the wild goats. Came to the sheep pens along the way, and a cave was there, and Saul went to relieve himself, and David and his men are far back in the cave. David and these guys get way back in this cave. The men said, Dave, this is the day the Lord spoke of. He's going to give your enemies into your hands, and you can do anything you want. David's in the back of the cave. These guys are whispering to him. These gnarly old discontent guys in debt. Distressed guys, they see King Saul and said, Dave, go get him. Go get that sucker. Take him now. Then David crept unnoticed. Can you imagine this, getting close enough that you can cut the guy's robe? Silent, he cut his robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He didn't slit his throat. For Pete's sake, he took his pocket. The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him. He's the anointed of the Lord. With these words, everybody say these words. These words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave and went his way. David said, gentlemen, I'm going to transfer something to you today. I'm going to tell you, don't touch the Lord's anointed. But he's after you. He's going to kill you. Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you how to live here. I'm going to teach you something. This doesn't sound like Jesus. You have heard that it hath been said, hate your enemies and love your friends. But I'm saying to you, look at me, look at me. I want you to love your enemies. Love your enemies and do good to them who persecute you. And pray for the people who abuse you. Pray for them. Well, now just a minute. I want revenge. I want some of that. Come on, help me. I want some of that. Inside, deep inside me, I want some of that. It hasn't been 1 month, I confess to you, that a man got in my face. And I said, I am your pastor. And I am your friend. Get your hand out of my face. Because I'm just a man. I know you, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? But I've repented from that. I've said, God, I'm sorry. Why'd I do that? I mean, in my face. And I swelled up. And I got trembly. Is there a man in the house? Is there a man in this house? I'm telling you, I got to trembling. And I felt like I was leaning. And I didn't know I had that in me anymore. I'm going to be 60. You'll be acting like that. A man ought to be smarter than that. You need to learn that you can't use your hands and your fists. You got to learn. And I was on the edge of transfer. I was fixing to transfer some of Mickey Friend out. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I am your... If I could stand here and it not be an improper concept, I would be stripped bare before you today and say, this is just me. I'm just telling you, I get it. I get it. But David said, we're not doing that. Jesus said, don't do that. He said it to me when I got in my car and walked away. You shouldn't have done that. Calm down. Calm down. Calm that spirit. Let me transfer peace. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of the whole situation. You know, I was wronged one time. I was wronged, and I said, God, I want justice. He said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. I want justice. He said, well, if I'm going to pass out justice, we're going to start with you. I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. He said, pray for mercy. Somebody help me. Pray for mercy. Because as this church transitions and we become more like Jesus, we're going to have to make it real. Not just words. It's not just the church you go to. It's going to be the way you are when you're away from me. And I want to put something in you today that says, you know what? I've got to be nice when people are mean. I need to be polite when people are rude. I don't need to push my way in when somebody's pushing me out of line. I got to learn. And when I walk away, I'm going to love my enemies. And I'm going to be like my Father in heaven. And I'll be in control, and I'll be at peace, and I won't be stupid. And I won't be in jail. Because I'm going to tell you, you get mad, you don't think right. Right? Am I right or not? Because I thought while I was standing there, now, your pastor friend's name is in the paper because he whooped this man in the parking lot. You're laughing, but I'm telling you, this went through my head. And the next thought that went through my devil head was, and I'll be proud of it. I'm serious. I'm going to knock him down. I'm going to knock him out. They're going to report it. I'm going to get in trouble. I'll have a court case. I'll have a lawsuit against me. And I'll stand there going, I'm proud of it, Judge. I'm proud of it. Then you calm down later and you think clearly. And you think to yourself, I'm glad I didn't do that. Something from the Holy Ghost got transferred just in time. Okay, are you listening to me? Then please look at 1 Samuel 26, just two chapters later. Chapter 26, verse 7. 1 Samuel 26, verse 7. So David and Abishai went to the army by night. And there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. So David and Abishai sneak into Saul's camp while they're sleeping out on the ground, camping out. And there is King Saul laying there, and his spear is stuck in the ground. And David and Abishai creep right up to him. Abishai whispers to David, see if this doesn't sound like the same story in the cave. Today, God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me pin him to the ground. With one thrust of my spear, I won't have to strike him twice. David said to Abishai, let's transition here for a minute. Don't destroy him. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look at me. Everybody, if you have ears to hear, bite your tongue. Don't say it. Don't say it. Because that word is be like a spear. It'll strike her heart. It'll hit him deep in his soul. Don't say it. Don't say it. What I'm doing today is not going to make up for the past, but it's going to save great grief in your future. Don't say it. Just let me say one word. Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever actually carved through the words that you would have said down to that last little thing? I have. I'm married. I am married. I have cooked down. I have boiled down my words. Sometimes for a whole day. Just waiting to say. I know exactly what to say now. I know exactly how to hurt her. I know the buttons. Somebody help me. And David said to Abishai, don't do it. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord will take care of him. Either his time will come and he'll die when he's old, or he'll go into battle. But the Lord forbid that I lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get his spear and get the water jug that's near his head and let's get out of here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I speak to you today in these final moments of this message that you are not Abishai, and you are not the group of discontents. You are David. You are a representation of Jesus. It is time for you to transition until you are kind and gentle and giving, and that you transfer that to your children, your grandchildren, and your friends. God does not intend for you to live all of your life being taught by God to be patient or quiet or kind. But at some point, you will transition until you are transferring what he has given to you, where you are giving it. Does that make sense? Because so often we come to church and we say, well, teach me and I'll go be that. I am asking you today to imagine a life where you are the teacher, where you are transferring who you are to other people. Does that make sense? I'm grieved, deeply grieved, because there's a parallel, Josh, between the Boundary Waters and here. I took men last week, five rookies, never been there, men that never fished. I fished the first day with a man, 62 years old, who'd never caught a fish. So I spend time with him. I spend time with each of these guys till they catch 15 or 20, till they get it, till they learn. It's different there than anywhere else. Even if you're a fisherman, you have to change your thinking. And I realize that because guys coming out of the boundary waters, when we're going in, brag that they caught one. That happened. That happened. We're coming out, and there was a group of four who caught six. And they told us they'd been there all week, and they were excited. We caught six. I said to my guys, if we don't catch 25 before I pitch my tent, cut my arms off. What, Uncle Mick? And here's what happened. When they're in the boat with me, Nate is in the boat with me. Now, let me just tell you this. I took guys that spent good money, flew up here, men that intended to spend time with me. But when Nate and I went, I kept Nate in my boat. Because the second day, Nate said, if you go with him, if I have to go with that guy, I'm going to lose my mind. Please don't let me out of your boat. Don't make me go with that guy. Because we got people that are hard to live with, man. And there was a guy who talked like he talked like two radios all the time. And Nate, don't let me in the boat, please. So I kept Nate in the boat with me the whole time. But here's the problem, Nate. Here's what I saw. Here's what happened. And God began to deal with me about my ministry and about you. As long as these guys are in the boat with me, and I'm telling them exactly what to do, the pastor's in the church, and you're in the pew, and I'm telling you exactly what to do, which all religion has done all your life, as soon as I'm out of the boat, you don't have a clue. And I turn the boat and teach them that where the canoe is pointed, that's what I'm talking about. I would say, look straight ahead, honest to God, and they'd go. Where the canoe is straight ahead. Cast straight ahead. This happened. This happened. These are intelligent people. And I would say, that's good. Good cast. But there's no fish over there. I'm trying to put you where the fish are. And it's the truth, honest to God. And they'd catch 15 or 20. Then I'd get them and I'd see them in the boat the next day. You know, half a mile away. And here they're casting. I'm going, oh, Lord. My boat will bring 100 in. And their boat brings in 2. And I realized they're doing exactly what I'm telling, but I haven't transferred knowledge. They don't analyze. They're not thinking. They can do what they're told, but they can't think for themselves. And I have repented now for days, laid in my tent in that sleeping bag thinking, how can I tell these people today how to think? How can I teach you that when you're out there, you need to be kind and be like Jesus? Not when you're shaking hands and hugging folks that smell good, but when you're not here. You need to take the Spirit. You need to have transferred to you this idea so that, listen, you are transferring God. You're passing God out when you get out there. May the 6th, 2014, at 4:45 a.m., I'm praying for the Oliver couple. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me at 4:45, and I finished my prayer for you at 5:10 a.m. The Lord said to me, the first word he said, Datra, was the word he. I almost called you and said, it's a boy. It's going to be a boy. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, he will rise and lead. Like a king, he will be well-tempered and secure. Because of your upbringing, he will attract noble-hearted, forward-thinking free people. And so you've got to transfer, Dev, into that boy the stuff that you think, how you believe. God did not bring you to this church by accident. I'm not as educated as you are. We're thrilled at your doctorate. Honest to God, it's amazing what you've done. But neither am I as crazy as I seem when I get in this church. I have good sense. There's a couple people here that will tell you that. I'm an intelligent, educated person. I have my degree on the desk in there from the University of Seoul, Korea. I've been awarded a doctorate. I didn't deserve it, but I got one. Okay? From a Presbyterian college. In case you wonder about my religious affiliation. The reason I'm saying this is so that you take this last message that you have in this church and realize there is a transfer going on. And you are now transitioning from getting and thinking and growing to transferring to a boy. And because God has anointed you and you have had these marvelous spiritual experiences, He is going to rise up and lead. And He's going to be so secure, it won't matter when He is 21, what color He is. It won't matter what nation His family came from. It will only matter what kind of a man He is. Oh, my God, and we're going to raise up a leader. Jesus. Advance and success are His. Because of His temperament, His attitude, and His mentality, many people will be strengthened to pursue their destiny. He will not live unto Himself. Because the forming of your marriage and your home, and now this day, we're going to dedicate that baby. He will be loved and admired. He will be important to people for who He is, not just for what He does. Today I'm going to transfer my heart, the heart I have for God, to Him and say, give Him heart for God so that His priorities do not waver. And you don't have to worry when it seems He takes a wrong path. God will speak to him and bring him back. Today, lay your worry down. We're going to dedicate that boy to God. And when God calls his name, he'll hear his voice. So I pray a Davidic anointing so that many people who come into his life will be better people. Like David and the 400 and then the 600. Until finally David became king. And those loyal men became his servants. So also, I pray that God puts the spirit of David, the heart of David, to mentor and to teach on him. So teach him well. Lead him well. Because you are raising a future leader. Would you come? All of the family who have come today with the Oliver family, please come. Drew Colin James Oliver. That's a mouthful for that little kid. Look how little and cute and sweet. Almighty God. Come on, everybody. That's right. That's good. Just let them gather around you. Born to Dev and Datra on May 24th, 2014 at 1:43 p.m., he weighed 7 pounds, 10 ounces. He was 20 and a half inches long. And he's beautiful. The dedications that we do in our church are extremely important to me. As you can tell, I'm emotional and highly spiritual at this moment. And when the Lord spoke to me and called him by name, I kept it to myself until the day you sent me a text, his little name. I jumped up, honest to God, when it came through on my phone. I jumped up. I said, look, Terry, it's a boy. Let me show you something. I took her in and I showed her this piece of paper that I just read from. And I said, look, the Lord told me it was a boy. Terry said, "Ah, she knew already. She had an ultrasound. They knew it was a boy." Is that true? And I said, okay. So now I'm not such an impressive prophet. It matters. The point is, the Lord knew. And so there's two things going to happen today. Number one, I'm going to pray for a release from you, the things that God has placed in you and will place in you, so that like a conduit, it will flow, okay? And then number two, we're going to dedicate that little guy to the Lord and going to raise up a great warrior. Now, he's going to be crazy and wild and happy and careless, and he'll spill stuff, and you'll say, where's that Davidic anointing the pastor was talking about? Don't blame me, because he's going to be crazy. He'll be happy, full of life, and crazy, and he's going to make lots of mistakes. But that's when your teaching, your transferring to him is going to begin. And I just declare to you that this one is anointed in the sight of God, and that you're going to raise a precious boy, and because of your depth and because of who you are, you won't forget where this dedication happened and all that. We'll be parted by years. They're moving to California. He's received a great job offer. They're not going to be a part of this assembly, but a part of the kingdom of God. But some stuff never goes away. Some deep relationships never go away. And I'm going to tell you, if things get tough and you come back, there'll be lights on and we'll be waiting on you and we'll welcome you back. And we want to see this one right here. We want to see him as he grows and want to hear about it. But there needs to be something deeply put in your heart today. I want to give you today the peace that I have and the faith that I have in God. I don't worry. I don't worry. God Almighty is going to work it out. And if that gets on him, then all the bad news of what happens, you know, the next few decades could be really discouraging, but not to him. He'll say, you've got to be kidding me. God's got it in control, man. My brother. Guys, I don't want to lose you. So I just promise I'm going to give it my best shot.
That is right.
Drew Colin James Oliver. You saw him, you spoke of him, and you said this is what you're going to do. So by the name of Jesus, I dedicate him now to the purpose, to the call of God, to the kingdom. I lift him up today in the name of Jesus, and I dedicate this child to you and to your service. Even now, dispatch angels. Warring angels to stand beside him. Let him walk with swords drawn, stand at the door, tirelessly watch over him. Keep disease out of his body. Keep addictions out of his body and out of his mind. In Jesus' name, we rebuke every foul spirit that would try to come against him. And we say, this one belongs to God. This one will lead the heart of David the spirit of David. And I pray, Lord God, that whatever you put on me, you'd put in him so that he'd be fearless and crazy for you, dance and shout and sing and give his whole life to you. We dedicate him and his family today to the Lord. In Jesus' name. And for the wonderful work that these people have done in our church and the contribution they've been to us, would you appreciate the Oliver family right now? We love you, Dan. We love you, Detra. Love you. Just love you. Yeah. Come this way, would you? Shake hands and love them. Make the family welcome today. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Come this way. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.